The Holy Spirit has been delivered to you. Now what? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
The Holy Spirit gives power. The Holy Spirit gives peace and joy and love, regardless of what's going on around you. That's from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives power to rise above sin and to walk in victory over sin. And those sins that are so difficult for us, those sins like bitterness and those sins like lust and those sins of addiction get their hooks in us and say, I'm gonna hold you down. The Holy Spirit says, oh no, I have power to break every chain and to break every hook. There's power there. It comes from the Holy Spirit, and He gives that to the church.
He can heal every scar.
Do you ever feel like you're just going through the motions of life, drawing your breath and drawing your salary day after day? Well, the Holy Spirit has come to give you hope and power. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who's going to guide us through the birth of the church and the impact of the coming of the Holy Spirit and what that truly means to you, practically speaking. The title of the lesson is Special Delivery. It's from Pastor Jeff's comprehensive 9-lesson series, The Unknown God, Discovering the Person and Power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this series and a companion booklet are our special thank you gifts for your support of any amount this month. You can find out more at fromhisheart.org. Now, though, open your Bible to the second chapter of Acts, as Pastor Jeff describes the importance of the Holy Spirit's special delivery.
What happened on the day of Pentecost? I want to share with you three life-changing, earth-shattering events that took place on the day of Pentecost. Event number one, the Holy Spirit came to dwell. He came to dwell inside the human heart. That had never happened before. Jesus said in John chapter 14 that He was going to send another just like Him who would abide with them forever, and He would not only be with them, but would be in them. See, in the Old Testament, God had a temple for His people to come to and meet. But in the New Testament, starting in Acts chapter 2, God has a people for His temple. And what do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? So the Holy Spirit came as a fulfillment of the promise of the Father. And He also came as a fulfillment of the feast day, Pentecost. He came on Pentecost. Now, as I told you, the Jews had different feasts and lots of feast days that God had set up in the Old Testament. Well, we know that Passover pictures what happened in Egypt, when God led His people out of Egypt through the Passover lamb. And the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that Jesus is our Passover lamb, and that lamb that Moses and the people had to slay and put the blood on the lintel, on the doorpost and on the lintel, on the top part of the door and on the sides of the door, that was a picture of Jesus. Jesus is our Passover lamb. It's His blood that we put not on the doorposts of our house, but on the doorposts of our heart, and His blood washes away sin, and His blood changes us. So Jesus is a picture of the Passover, and they celebrated the Passover. And Jesus is a picture of the feast of first fruits, because right after Passover, on that next day, that Sunday, they would have this thing called first fruits. And they would wave that before the Lord. And it was like, here's a little piece of harvest that's going to indicate that we're going to get a great harvest at the end of this 50 days. Jesus, the Bible clearly says, is the first fruits of those who die. He's the first fruits of those who fall asleep. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. So all this stuff pictures Jesus. And then on the 50th day, which is when Pentecost fully comes in, the 50th day, Pentecost means 50th, then they would take and they would bake 2 loaves of grain and they would offer those to the Lord. And then it was a symbol of, Lord, the harvest has come in. Praise you, God. Thank you, God. And so that's the symbolism here. But now it's also important to remember, and as you look at the symbolism here, you have Jesus. He's the first one to rise from the dead. And then you have the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost, which indicates there's going to be a great harvest. But now Pentecost also was the day that they celebrated and commemorated the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. So here you have in the Old Testament, you slay the Passover lamb, you put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, and the death angel passes over you, and Pharaoh loses his firstborn, and all of Egypt screams, get these people out of here. He lets the people go, and they go, and they pass through the Red Sea, and God destroys Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea, and from the Red Sea, they go to Sinai, Mount Sinai, where Moses gets the law. And that's the beginning of the covenant of law. And that's what they would celebrate at Pentecost, the giving of the law. And now here they are at Pentecost. Everything changes because the old covenant is now obsolete. Now comes a new covenant, a new testament, a new deal that's in the blood of Jesus. And it's not about law. It's about grace and the full expression of what God had intended for Pentecost comes to be. And it happened when the Holy Spirit came. So that's the very first event. Wow. Second event, the church was born by the baptism with the Spirit. This is the beginning of the church, of the people of God, known as the church, the bride of Christ, the people who are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it was born through the baptism with the Holy Spirit. John said that Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He told the people, he said, I baptize you with water. But there is coming one after me, the thong of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie. He's going to baptize you not with water, but with the Holy Spirit. Lots of people get confused on what is this thing, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. I mean, I don't understand that, Jeff. And I go to some churches and they tell me that well, the reason I'm struggling in my Christian life is I haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit and I need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And if I'm baptized then with the Holy Spirit, everything will change. Let me tell you what it is. Holy Spirit baptism is the thing which places you in the body of Christ. Holy Spirit baptism is positional. It's being placed in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture for that is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. It says this, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. The Lord is the baptizer. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit coming and showing up as tongues of fire on the people's heads is a picture of their being placed into the body. That is positional. And the Holy Spirit baptism, it happens the moment you believe. The moment you believe. Here's another thing people say. Well, no, it doesn't happen like that, Jeff, because it happens later. You believe and then you seek after the Lord and then hopefully then he baptizes you in his Spirit, because that's how it happened in the book of Acts. Remember this about the book of Acts. The book of Acts is history. The book of Acts is transition. The book of Acts tells you what happened. It is descriptive. It is not prescriptive. What's the difference? Well, descriptive just describes it. It just says, well, this happened, and this happened. Prescriptive, those are the epistles. Prescriptive tells you this is what's supposed to happen. First you do this, then you do this, then you do that. Descriptive just says, well, this is what happened. Now, in the way the Lord Jesus, in his ministry, he did things differently. You know, how's he healed blind people differently. Blind Bartimaeus, he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Rabbi, I want to see. And Jesus just spoke a word. And he said, be it done to you according to your desire, according to your wish. And he was able to see, just spoke a word. You know, the man in John chapter 9, he was born blind. and he wanted to see. And what did Jesus do? Jesus spit on the ground and he made some clay little things from the spittle. He worked the dirt together and then he put them in the guy's eyes. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And so the guy did that and all of a sudden he could see. Another time, Jesus just touched a man's blind eyes and he could see. So you have people that say, well, let me tell you how this is, if you are blind and you're gonna get healed, this is how it has to happen. Jesus has to spit on the ground and he has to form little clay Play-Doh and then he has to stick it in your eyes. And somebody says, no. He just has to speak a word. And then somebody else says, no. He's gotta touch your eyes. Hey, he can do it however he wants. But you can't look at things that just describe it and say that's the way it's always supposed to be. So in the book of Acts, it's a transitionary book. These people, these 120, Peter and James and John and the others, they're believers in the Lord, but they haven't received his Spirit yet. Why not? Because the Spirit hadn't come yet. Spirit has to come in order for you to receive the Spirit. And so they receive the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then you have another group in Acts chapter 8. They receive the Spirit. They're called Samaritans. Well, Samaritans are half Jew, half Gentile. Well, the Jews didn't think, they hated the Samaritans. They're like, ah, you're a Jewish half-breed, you know. It's like Cher, half-breed, that's all I ever heard. They would spit. They didn't like Jewish half-breeds because they were turncoats, they thought. And so the Samaritans, for the gospel to come to the Samaritans, for the Holy Spirit to come to the Samaritans, whoa. We didn't think God would save Samaritans. We figured God hated Samaritans. No, God loves Samaritans. And Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, where there are Samaritans, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And in the remotest parts of the earth, what do you find there? Gentiles. And the gospel is coming to Gentiles. And in Acts chapter 10, when the gospel comes to Gentiles, they believe, and then the Holy Spirit falls upon them. And the disciples, Peter and the people with him, are amazed that the Holy Spirit came to Gentiles. And so we have these transitions. But what happens today? At the close of this service, if you're here and you say, I want to receive Christ as my Savior and my Lord, and you come down front and we pray together and you ask Jesus to come into your life to save you and forgive you of all your sins, what happens? Do you have to then seek the Holy Spirit somewhere else? No, he comes right the moment you pray and put your faith and trust in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 13 and 14, you write this down. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says this, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit, the moment you believe, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. You're sealed like a Ziploc sealed bag, never to come out. That's the Holy Spirit. He comes to live inside of you. He is God's pledge. He is God's down payment. He is God's engagement ring, so to speak, to you. And he says, I'm coming for you one day, and I'm going to come marry you. You are going to be my bride. And the promise that you have that I'm coming to get you is that I've given you my engagement ring. I've given you my Spirit. And it happens the moment you believe. That's what is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now that happened to them, boom, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, every single one of them. Event number three, the church was empowered by the filling of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit. Now this is where people get confused. They look at the baptism with the Spirit and the filling with the Spirit, and they say that's the same thing. It's not the same thing. It's different things, different things. There's only the baptism with the Holy Spirit, that only happens once. Filling with the Holy Spirit, that happens repeatedly. Why? Why do we have to be filled with the Spirit repeatedly? Because we leak. That's why. You know? Well, once you're placed in the body of Christ, you're in the body of Christ forever. But as far as being filled with the Spirit, that's where you read in the Bible, even in the book of Acts, and they were filled with the Spirit and they did this, and a couple chapters later, and they were filled with the Spirit and they did this, and a couple chapters later, and they were filled with the Spirit and they did this. It's like, why do you guys keep getting filled with the Spirit? Doesn't one count? One baptism, many fillings, because we leak. So the church was empowered by the filling of the Spirit. Now you write this down. The Holy Spirit is power from on high. Power from God on high. Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, the resurrected Christ, he told them to remain in the city until they would be clothed with the power from on high. Speaking of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's the power of God. He's the power from on high. And he gives power, power to do. I love how the scripture likens him to a wind, a violent rushing wind, and it likens him to fire. Because both of those things are powerful. A wind is powerful. The Holy Spirit has power like a wind. He has power like fire. And you know, when you get wind and fire together, as a friend of mine who lives in Odessa talks about the fires that they have, he said, boy, when the fire goes across those plains, he said, sometimes that wind can whip that fire and you can see the fire jump the highway to get to the other side and start burning a field on the other side because there is power there with the wind and the fire. That's the Holy Spirit. He's power inside. You shall be clothed with power from on high. And the Holy Spirit came for what? To baptize us. The Lord baptized us in the Spirit, and then the Spirit to give us power. That comes through the filling. Through the filling. And it gives us power for what? Power for what? Power to overcome. Power to be able, as Paul and Silas did when they were in the stocks in the inner prison in Acts chapter 16, after they had been beaten. Power to sing praises to God, even in the midst of terrible, horrible circumstances. The Holy Spirit gives power. The Holy Spirit gives peace and joy and love, regardless of what's going on around you. That's from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives power to rise above sin and to walk in victory over sin and those sins that are so difficult for us, those sins like bitterness and those sins like lust and those sins of addiction get their hooks in us and say, I'm going to hold you down. The Holy Spirit says, oh no, I have power to break every chain and to break every hook. And he gives us power to witness, because that's what the scripture says. Jesus said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and you shall be my witnesses. So there's power to do what? To open your mouth and speak for the Lord. The tongues of fire came upon them so they could speak. There's power there. It comes from the Holy Spirit, and he gives that to the church. And the power comes to you personally when you're filled with the Spirit. One baptism, many, many fillings. Every Christian is baptized with the Holy Spirit, because if you're not, if you don't have the Spirit, then you don't belong to him. But not every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It means that the Holy Spirit is controlling you. It means that every area in your life, in your heart, is yielded up to the Holy Spirit. And many, many people who call themselves Christians, they're not yielded to the Spirit of God. They're not letting the Lord control them. They're controlling them. And so for us to be filled with God's Spirit, we first have to be emptied of self. Many of us, we're just lives just crammed with self. It's all about me. It's all about self. Let me take a selfie, because it's just self, self, self. And the Holy Spirit says, I'd like to fill your life. I'd like to give you power. I'd like to change things in you, but you got to get off the throne and let me take control. Hey, the power comes when you're filled with the Spirit, when you personally are abandoned to the Holy Spirit. And then there's signs that are given to prepare people to hear the gospel. Did you notice what they did when they were filled with the Spirit? They began to speak with other tongues. Now notice in Acts chapter 2, they didn't speak with unknown tongues. They didn't speak with heavenly tongues. They spoke languages that the people around them could understand. They were known languages, not heavenly languages, not unknown languages, known languages. The people heard, and it blew their minds. How do these hicks from the sticks, these hayseeds, these Galileans, how do they know my dialect? The language that I learned when I was a kid. How could they possibly know that? Well, they couldn't know it, but God was at work. And tongues are for a sign, the scripture says, not for believers, but for unbelievers. And every gift the Holy Spirit gives, he gives it to point to Jesus. It's a sign. And so this sign that was given pointed the way to Jesus. They were speaking of the mighty deeds of God. Now, why does the scripture say that? Because the people would have said, okay, if they're speaking this stuff, how do they know this stuff? Well, there's only two powers that could bring this about, either the power of God or the power of the devil. Well, the devil's not going to speak about the mighty deeds of God, so you'd rule that out. So all of a sudden, it has to be from God, and the people are saying, what does this mean? And some of the mockers, some of the scoffers say, ha, just means that they're drunk, and they're drunk on new wine. They're drunk on sweet wine, which is grape juice. It's not fermented. It's brand new, and they're making fun of the disciples, saying, these guys, these hicks from the sticks, they can't even hold their welches. I mean, you take them to the Lord's Supper at First Baptist, and they take a little sip of that Welch's, and they're two sheets to the wind. And all, but it's like, have you ever been around a bunch of drunks? Do they start speaking Cappadocian? And I don't think so. It's not all of a sudden, well, I've had too many. Let me start speaking Russian. That doesn't work like that. And so it didn't even make any sense, but they just mocked because some people mocked. But there was a bunch of people there that day that said, what does this mean? And it opened the door for Peter to preach the gospel. And 3,000 repented and believed that day. There was power. Peter, who had been afraid when the little slave girl said, you are one of his disciples, for your Galilean accent gives you away. And he cursed and he swore and said, I don't even know the man. And now on the day of Pentecost, because he's clothed with power from on high, he's able, he has power to speak, and he preaches a sermon, and 3,000 are saved. And he's bold in his preaching. What does the Lord want to do in your life? He wants to fill you with the Spirit. He wants you to be baptized with the Spirit, to be placed in the body of Christ, and then he wants your body to be fully given over to the Holy Spirit so he can use you as his witness.
So, how about you? Do you know that Jesus has baptized you with the Holy Spirit? If you don't know Jesus Christ in an intimate, personal way, but you feel that tug of the Holy Spirit, the drawing that is undeniable, you can come to Him now and ask Him to bring the Holy Spirit into you. And through repentance and faith, God, through the Holy Spirit, will come in, and you will be changed for now and for eternity. The desires of your heart will become God's desires. To find out more about how to do just that and what it means to you every day, just go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link, where you can discover the answers you seek and some free resources and downloads from Pastor Jeff to guide you. Again, fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link right there on the homepage. You've been listening to part two of the message, Special Delivery, from the series, The Unknown God, Discovering the Person and Power of the Holy Spirit. This series and Pastor Jeff's companion booklet, The Divine Helper, Uncovering the Mystery and Ministry of the Holy Spirit, are our two gifts of thanks to you for your support this month of any amount. You can get them in the format of your choice when you make a gift at fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, and may God be glorified with your heartfelt concern for those who will hear this broadcast and receive God's gift of the Holy Spirit today. A giant thank you again for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be here again next time for the next lesson in Pastor Jeff's series, The Unknown God, Discovering the Person and Power of the Holy Spirit. That's when he'll again open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is love, there is hope. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.